You are listening to A Woman's World. I'm Purvi Shah, and I'm here with Seema Sabnani, and we're talking about the power of storytelling and improvisation. So, Seema, you were just speaking about mentoring young Asian American women in terms of having their own production and performance, and that sounds amazing. It sounds like an opportunity we all would have relished had we been younger and had that chance. What are some of the stories that have come up from their experiences that have surprised you? And has it made you think about stories that you would have wanted to share?
Right. I think it reminds me, it's always that you share from not only your own experiences, but the things that have been passed on to you. And it's always really amazing when all these young women come together, and it's just, there's so many unique stories. Yes, they're similar in the sense of the emotions that come out, but there's so much of a uniqueness that's been passed on, because you can only speak from who you are, but what's passed on from your mom and your grandmother. And I know, I think that's what always inspires me, is that one of the prompts that we did in our improv, which was a beautiful prompt, was if we could interview someone, anyone, whether fictional or, you know, alive, who would that be? And the person that really came out to me was my great-grandmother and grandmother, and the idea that I would have loved to have heard their voices and what they went through, because the family history that I grew up with is around partition. And the idea that, you know, we had to migrate, and it was a forceful migration on both sides, and it was very traumatic. And it would be so amazing to hear their voices and what they went through.
So where did they move from to where?
So from, I mean, before Pakistan and India existed, but so now in Sindh, which is where my family is from. So their partition story is that they were moving from Nawabshahr, which is in Sindh, to India. And then they first moved right away into Gujarat, and then kind of came into that migration. And the stories that I hear, my mom was really young. So she doesn't have as many strong memories of this, but they're very traumatic experiences. So whenever they talk about India, it's always this history of almost trauma, and this idea that it's not one specific area that they think about. It's this homeland that is almost in your head, what homeland is.
That idea of the imaginary homeland, which we have grown up with.
Yeah, and that's a very powerful experience, and it makes me, having my own identity challenges growing up in the U.S., the idea of what is homeland. And so I think it would be an amazing conversation to have with my great-grandmother about, you know, what she went through and what was her identity and what were the things that she, if she could share to her granddaughters and great-granddaughters, what would they be, like in the learned lessons?
Yeah, I think it's amazing what you're saying, because it's sort of, you know, earlier you're talking about the silences we all carry, and that we don't talk about, you know, these critical issues, and certainly partition with all of its trauma is one of them. And yet then you have our generation or others who want to know what happened or what the experience was like. And so it's really interesting to kind of have art as a way to bridge those experiences, or that curiosity.
And it's, I think it's really interesting is that there can be parallels. This idea, like we were kind of going back to, about the idea of homeland. Like, I think I'm always looking for South Asian feminists, and there are tons of them now, and it's great. And the idea when they talk about bicultural feminism, or the idea of being bicultural, and what does that look like? And so when I think about my mom and her experiences growing up in India, it was bicultural in many ways. So it's interesting to see parallels.
That's interesting.
And then it's, and so then having art as a form, and it's always talking about your experience first, and then it goes into not just art, but being a facilitator. You can only speak from the body that you have and experiences that you've worked with. And if you come into the room that way, then everyone has experiences that's been passed down, but as well as their own personal experiences.
That's a really powerful lesson, I think, especially for youth who sometimes might think, oh, their parents' generation doesn't understand or doesn't have a sense of what's going on. And I think that framework that you're offering, which is that everybody has some kind of dislocating experience in some way, or some way to share experience, is amazing. It's a way to kind of see the whole world and people around you so differently.
And it's that, it's that connection too, right? It's that when you walk in, it's the idea that you're not going to always, identity is not this just one single thing, that everyone has so many multiple identities that they, you know, either identify with or, you know, share with other people. But it's so interesting how I feel like how it's portrayed sometimes. And it kind of goes back to what you see as South Asian females or even just South Asian people, what we see in the media and how it's portrayed. There's not as much complexity as there really is. And I think that's not just South Asian. That's a very commonality with a lot of things. And I know with a lot of the young people I work with, identify as being African American or Jamaican or West Indian. And it's very, very true to their stories as well, is that it's not how they want to identify. It's just this one thing. And it's other people identifying as this when there's so much more complexity in identity. So it's having that shared experience and saying, listen, there's so many more complex stories into who and what makes me than what other people are telling me.
So Seema, you've done so many things and you've talked about like these really hard stories that you've wanted to share with people. Do you ever find it hard to do it?
Right. I never find it hard in the sense of to want to share these stories. That's always what motivates me. I think what can be challenging is finding the time and the space to do that. And I think that's the part where it's always about creating space to do this work. And how and whatever the medium or outlet, it can be intimidating. And I think that's the thing that I'm learning finally as I keep building my own confidence, right? Is that you just got to keep trying different mediums and it's okay. It's not about failing or succeeding. It's about just trying it out because everyone has their story to share. So yeah, I'm definitely enjoying it. And I am definitely starting to take the non-traditional route because this is the first year and a half that I have not been in a full-time traditional job. So
wow, that was that scary to do it, at the beginning?
Yeah, it still is. It's not over.
That's right. You still have to support yourself. Like,
but it's amazing. And I think, you know, I've had this conversation with many amazing women that I see as mentors and peers, and that it can be done. It's just about, again, identifying what your goal is, what you really want to do, what you want to put out there.
Yeah.
And then it works and you just find what other things to make it fit, like what pays the bills, but what really motivates you to get the work done.
Yeah.
So I've definitely been hustling, but in a good way, like in the sense of different opportunities to work. So,
and it sounds like going back to something you said earlier, like New York is that space where if you're going to be here, you might as well work to make your dreams come true, right?
Yeah, it's true. And the beauty of New York, I feel like whenever I meet someone, there's always like five things that they're doing. They're a writer, they're a poet, they're a yoga instructor, and they're a movie producer. And wait, one more thing. So
you are a yoga instructor too, right?
That is true. That is true. One more. And but the yoga instruction for me, I feel like it fits into all the things that I do, a sense of teaching, as well as trying to do more transformative organizing. And I've definitely been organizing as well as one of the other part of that idea of, you know, always being part of a bigger impact of social change.
Yeah.
And so it's wonderful when you can integrate all the different things. When in your facilitation, you can incorporate yoga, you can incorporate organizing and activism and advocacy, as well as creative tools.
That's amazing.
And so it's been really exciting to start doing that with other organizations, with young women, with classes that I've just been starting for yoga as well, for beginners at community spaces, just incorporate, you know, the idea of integration of not just like mind and body and breathing, but manifesting your dreams and figuring out what that looks like or what that could be and giving yourself space to do that. It's so important.
What are the questions you still ask yourself about your dreams?
I think I'm starting to learn to take it one step at a time. And what I've learned for now is that, what do I want to put out there this year? What do I want to put out next year? Because there's always so many questions and things that I want to see. And I'm always coming up with, I was sharing earlier that, not here with someone else, that sometimes I do get through this like manic insomniac phase where I'm like, oh my God, I need to write all these things down because it's just the things that I want to see out there.
You're like, I can't sleep because I need to keep doing these things.
So it's called the 4 a.m. creations. It's like, man, it comes at 4 in the morning and you just have to write it. So it's learning how to execute those ideas, because I feel like everyone, and I learned this firsthand, everyone has ideas. But if you can come up with a model of even baby steps of how to execute that idea. And that's great. And then I've learned for me, and this is where the collective helps with the Asian Women's Improv stuff, is that I work so much better as a group on a more collective style and consensus style. So that's the support, and you can build that community. And I think that's what I would say to other young women or men, whoever, is that there will always be another person who will be interested in what you are doing in any way. So it's just maybe finding those like-minded people will maybe get you started baby steps to like, to see what you want in the sense of a creative process or, you know, something else or a video or whatever you want to get out there.
That's amazing because it sounds like even in these new creations or new paths that one might have to make, you can have other people that are part of it and get that strength and support from that.
Yeah. And it becomes less intimidating, that collective idea. And it's interesting for me because I realize what was intimidating artistically for me was when I was working in alone.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my God, I've always been working in organizations that it's a collective model.
Yeah.
In many ways, it's very consensus style. You have others, you have the support. I've always worked with these amazing women who are, you know, share these like vision and ideas. And so when I wanted to branch out artistically, it was always harder to be like, oh, I have to do this by myself when you don't have to as well. I mean, and of course, people have their own process and forms, but what I've really been excited about is doing the collective model because that pushes me to, first of all, do this work, but also just get
it holds you accountable. Yeah, you can't be like, I'm going to sleep right now.
Yeah, because there are millions of books about how to get discipline in the smartest way and this and that, right? And get, but the collective, I mean, you're there. We're, you know, we're in a studio space doing this work, so it's good. It's exciting.
So Seema, is there a place where you write down your 4 a.m. creations or where you have these, you know, potential manifestations?
Yeah, I have definitely journaled. It's turned into an adult journal versus diary that I had as a kid. I definitely keep all my diaries / journals since like even age 7. Or not, I have some hilariously ridiculous little like prompts, but like little entries that I've written about. So yeah, I wake up and I definitely will write as much as possible. Sometimes it's very incoherent in the sense of what I'm writing, in the sense of just like, you know, just ideas.
Yeah.
But I know for this coming year and next year, there's a couple of ideas that I want to get out there. And one of them is the Asian Women's Improv. But a second one is actually doing kind of my own take on Little Women.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I love that story.
Yeah, well, same. Yeah. Growing up, I had 3 older sisters.
Yeah.
We're a family of 4 sisters. And so I'm like, what would be Little Women would look like now in the present day?
How fun.
With 4 sisters. So I'm, again, idea process, but I would love to see this. So I'm kind of, you know, again, goal setting. So by next year, I would like to work on that project, but maybe incorporating improv to this and the idea that it can be experimental. It doesn't have to be this one format and form.
So, interesting. Yeah. And is there a place where people who are listening can see some of your work in creation?
Yeah. I'm still learning and getting through that process of promoting, but I do have a Tumblr page, which is my name. So it's Seema, S-E-E-M-A, Sabnani, S-A-B-N-A-N-I. So if you just Google my name, it comes up. And some of the stuff.
What is a Tumblr page?
Yeah. So it's a social media website that Tumblr, you have a chance to kind of just promote either photos, ideas, even just, you know, your own, how to contact you.
Yeah.
I definitely use it a lot more for my yoga.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I've been using that, but I definitely am kind of getting into the realm of consulting now as well. So I have sabnaniconsulting@gmail.com.
Nice.
So yes, and I have definitely searched how many other Sabnanis, how many other Cindys are out there. So at least no one has Sabnani Consulting right now.
I think that was your Cindy shout out to the community.
Yeah, I know, right? It's true. You have to do it. Anyone with the ANI has to share.
So I think if there are a message you wanted to share with other young South Asian women who are interested in drama or improv, what would it be?
Right. Well, I'd like to share it with people who think that they're not even interested in drama or improv as well, is that everyone has that story to share. And you'd be amazed. And in fact, when I was starting the improv, everyone's like, oh, I've never done improv. It's so intimidating. Or it can be, but it's just a conversation. So what I think is really cool is that the idea of sharing that conversation, because I think so many people could benefit from hearing those conversations. So like when you see shows like Sex and the City and Girls, that's wonderful. And I'd love to hear their perspective, but when do you get to hear other women's perspectives who are not always shared? So it's like, if you, you know, are interested in drama improv, wonderful. Definitely, you know, get involved, take some classes, find other people. But if not, even just finding a way with social media to promote yourself or even sharing your conversation in different mediums.
Well, thank you so much, Seema, for coming on and talking about the power of storytelling and what we can do to make our stories get more attention. So thank you all for tuning in, and I look forward to connecting with each of you again on A Woman's World. Take care.